upon the beloved Prophet, Sayyidina Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as long as the people who remember God remember him, and as long as the people forgive him, forgive him. I advise myself and all of you to be mindful of Allah, do your best to obey him, and to do the things that he's requested you to do, and do your best to avoid disobeying, and to leave those things that he's commanded you to leave. I pray that Allah will make me, and that he will make it for the people of Taqwa. Ameen. The Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, foretold certain events that are going to happen at the end of time. And he gave us, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, a very important and a very significant positioning vis-a-vis the end of time, as it regards the end of time and what will happen at the end of time. When Gabriel asked him in the rigorously authenticated narration about when the hour was, the Prophet said, the question knows no better about it than the one asking the question. And then Gabriel said to him, then tell me about its signs, and the Prophet proceeded, peace and blessings of Allah, we wanted to tell him about certain signs that would happen, indicating that the end of time is near. But the significant thing, and the important thing about the Prophet's informing us about the end of time, is that he did not tell us a specific day, or a specific hour, or a specific month, in which the world would come to an end. But he told us about certain things that would happen, indicating the fact that the world is eventually going to end and that we're closer to that. And in fact, the greatest sign of the end of time is the advent of the Prophet himself, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because it's indicative that revelation has done that celestial guidance in terms of scripture has ceased and that the world is coming to an end. And some of the things he told us about are so evidently manifest that only a person with no intellect could deny them. As the Arab poet said, وَلَا يُسْحِرُ فِي الْأَذْهَانِ شَيْءٌ إِذَا اَحْتَاجَ الْأَحَالُ إِلَى دَلِيلٍ. Human intellects will not concede anything, will not comprehend anything if daylight itself needs proof. In other words, there are some things that are just so clear, only an imbecile would deny them. A momentary listening to the daily news is enough for a believer to increase in faith about the truth of the Prophet of Allah by the times. A momentary listening to BBC or NPR or any other summary that you may listen to, a believer can easily walk away from any one of those things and say, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the messenger of God spoke the truth. Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. One of them, very unfortunately and very disturbingly, is the prevalence of murder and the prevalence of killing. The Prophet described killing being so prevalent at the end of time that the person committing the murder won't know why they committed the murder, and the victim won't know why they were the victim. In other words, people will be killing and they don't even know why they killed. And people will be killed and they don't even know why they were killed, completely senseless. No justification, not that there's ever a justification, so to speak, for killing, but there's not even an argument no one can make. The dead person committing the crime doesn't even know why it's happening. And so this is one of the things, amongst many things, that you see clearly foretold by the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah save us. And the Muslim community should be at the forefront of combating violent tendencies in the community, and arguably as important, combating violent tendencies in our minds and in our hearts. We should not have minds, nor should we have hearts that are inclined toward violence. The Prophet said that the community be hard on you. Do not seek to meet your enemies. Even in just war, you should not be inclined toward violence. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not someone who was inclined toward violence. So may Allah help us to not be inclined toward it. It is not to say that there's never a time or a place in which someone must stand for the cause of justice and be willing possibly to give their life for that. But it is to say that this senseless killing that is happening is something deeply, deeply disturbing. And so for the believer, that can I believe you can't make sense of anything. But a better response is for us to respond, as Allah says in the Quran, الَّذِينَ قَالَ لَهُمُ النَّاسِ إِنَّ النَّاسَ قَدْ جَمِعُوا لَكُمْ فَخْشَوْهُمْ. Those who the people said to them, people have gathered up against you. فَخْشَوْهُمْ. So fear them. فَزَادُوا إِيمَانًا. And that increased them in their faith. وَقَالُوا حَسْبُنَا اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ. And they said, Allah is sufficient for us, and He is the best of protectors. May Allah give us that prophetic response, Ya Rabbi Al-Ameen. So, in light of the end of time, and in light of human experience, in light of the fact that we're all going to die, every one of us is going to leave this realm. And you're either going to leave it with La ilaha illallah or without La ilaha illallah. You're either going to leave this life as someone who truly understands God, understands His oneness and His reality, or God forbid, leave this life as someone who denies His truth and His reality. May Allah save us from the latter. It's either or, you know, there's no middle. It's either you get out of this with La ilaha illallah, or you don't. And in light of that fact, I would like to reflect with you on a hadith that is found in the collection of Ibn Majah and in the Mustadrak of Ibn Hakim. And it's a sound hadith on the authority of Hudhayfa ibn Abi Malik, may Allah be pleased with him, who said, Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Yadrusu al-Islam wa kama yadrusu washi al-Qawm, hatta la yudra ma siyamu wa la salatu wa la nusuk wa la sadaq, wa la yusra ala kitab Allah azza wa jalla fi layla, fa la yabqa fi al-ardi min du'aya, wa taqqa tawa'ifu min al-nasi, al-shaykh al-kabir, والعجوز يقولون أضربنا آباءنا على هذه الكلمة لا إله إلا الله فنحن نقولها فقال له صيغة ما تذكرهم لا إله إلا الله وهم لا يدرون ما صلاته ولا صيام ولا نسك ولا صدقة فأعرض عنه حذيفة ثم ردها عليه ثلاثة كل ذلك يعرض عنه حذيفة ثم أقبل عليه في الثالثة يا سلة تنجيهم من النار يا سلة تنجيهم من النار يا سلة تنجيهم من النار أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. So Hudhayfa, who's an important companion, because he's called Sahib Sirri Rasulillah, he's called the keeper of the secret of the Messenger of Allah. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم told Hudhayfa certain things. He gave him certain secrets. And amongst them was that he listed the hypocrites to him. He told him who the people were. They were not sincere in their faith. They manifested Islam, but in their heart was something else. He listed them by name and relation. And Umar, may Allah be well pleased with him, used to go to the door of Hudhayfa at nighttime while he was the caliph, and would knock on the door and say, Ya Hudhayfa, A'adim wa Rasulullah min al-Munafiqin, Hudhayfa, I ask you by Allah, did the Prophet listen to one of the hypocrites? Now imagine being Hudhayfa in that moment. You know who the hypocrites are, but who's asking you? Someone who the Prophet said, if there was a Prophet after me, it would have been Omar. The Prophet said about him, if Omar takes a path, Satan goes a different way. Shaitan takes a different road if Omar takes a path. And all of the other things that we know about Satan and Omar, may Allah be pleased with him. So Hudhayfa says, of course, And then Omar would say to him, as the Sadiq would have been, I believe you. وَلَكِنْ عَمَنْ يُشْرِكُ عَمَنْ I believe you, but my actions, this is Omar talking. Listen up, super Muslim. Listen up, deluded one who thinks that they're better than other people. Listen up, any one of us, and God forbid any one of us has this. Listen up, all you who believe that you have some type of guarantee into paradise. Listen up. Oh, you who have the spiritual blowfish disease. Allah save us from that. Omar says to him, I believe you, Hudhayfa. I believe you that the Prophet didn't list me as a hypocrite. وَلَكِنْ عَمَلِي يُشْبِهُ عَمَلَهُ But my actions look like the actions of a hypocrite. That's simply the hope. May Allah forgive us. They say the only person who can't see a hypocrite is a who? A hypocrite. May Allah save us from hypocrisy. Back to the hadith. On the authority of Hudhayfa, he says, the Messenger of Allah said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Islam will become tattered. It will fall apart like a road until to the degree that it will not be known what fasting is. La yudla ma siyamu, it will not be known what fasting is. Wa la salatu, it will not be known what prayer is. Wa la nusukun, nor the religious rites in general. Or charity, people won't know what sadaqah is. Wa la yusra li kitabi la fi layla. And then Allah's book, meaning the Quran, will be removed from the earth in one night. حَتَّ لَا يَبْقَى فِي الْأَرْضِ مِنْهُ آيَةٌ. Until there will not remain a single verse from the Quran in the earth. No more Quran. And we find this affirmed in other rigorously authenticated narrations. But there will remain groups of people. Listen carefully, y'all. There will remain some groups of people, an old man and an old woman. They will say, we found our forefathers saying this word, La ilaha illallah. So we say it. We found our forefathers saying, La ilaha illallah. So we say it. And then Sila asked the laborer, what benefit will La ilaha illallah be to them? And they don't know what prayer or fasting or religious rites or charity is. Yani, in other words, what's the point of saying La ilaha illallah and they don't even know what the basics of the religion are? And every time Sila asked the name for that, he turned away from it. For hour of the he wouldn't speak and he turned away until he asked him three times. And then the third time, listen up. The third time, he asked him again. Khalifa said, Ya Sila, tuji him in a car. Oh Sila, La ilaha illallah will save them from the hellfire. It will save them from the hellfire. What is this really all about, y'all? It's really about where we end up forever, where we end up for eternity. May Allah make us steadfast in La ilaha illallah. How does this relate to how we began the about the end of time? For us to be clear about the fact that the Prophet told us this was going to happen. You are people who come to the masjid, obviously. You are people, as far as I can tell, who have a very serious commitment to the deen. You are people, from my vantage point, who believe in this and take it seriously. But don't get it twisted. Don't think that that's what's happening with all of the Muslims in the community. And I'll tell you a very brief story as we begin to wrap it up. A brother came to me one night and he said, there's a brother who wants to say his shahada. And you know, Muslim, we get excited when someone wants to say his shahada. Sometimes, you know, we get a little too excited. I remember I took my shahada. I must have 500 dudes in the course of 15 minutes, right? Brother's hugging you and squeezing you. I love you. I feel like you're going to choke. Because he's so excited to see a new Muslim, right? So a brother wants to say shahada, and everyone's excited. So we told the community, this brother wants to say shahada. But we make it a point to not do a drive-through shahada. What is a drive-through shahada? It's when you hear someone interested in Islam, you push him up to the front of the masjid, you tell him, repeat after me, and you haven't even taken a moment to assess where they're at. We should be careful of doing that, because that's not the point of shahada. The point of shahada is to assist a person in beginning a journey. So we make it a point to sit with people before they say their shahada and ask them if they have any questions. So the brother comes who wants to say shahada and he looks Muslim, whatever that means. He looked Muslim. And then he introduced himself and he had an Arabic last name. So I sat down and said, brother, how are you? So here? I said, where are you from? He said, well, my parents are from such and such place, a Muslim majority country. So he sat down and said, so you want to say shahada? He said, yes. I said, your last name is your Arabic name. Were you born in a Muslim family? He said, yes. I said, did you apostate? Did you like leave Islam? He said, no. I said, did you ever like pray to anybody other than Allah? He said, no. I said, did you willingly leave Islam? He said, no. I said, but you were born Muslim? He said, yes. I said, do you know the shahada? Listen to me, y'all. You know how to say this? He said, no. He said, I don't know how to say it. I said, do you know the Fatiha? He said, no. I said, do you know the name of the Prophet's parents, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He said, no. I said, do you know anything about Mecca? He said, no. I said, do you know anything about Medina? He said, isn't that where the Prophet's been? I told him, I said, listen, technically, if you're born Muslim, you're still Muslim. Technically. I said, and furthermore, if we have you say Shahada from the community, we're going to have a line out the door every weekend. Because there are so many Muslim youth who are in the exact same situation that he's in. The exact same situation that he's in. Don't know the basics of the religion. We pray that Allah will help our youth and guide them. Yes, and this is why we have to be very careful as a religious community to think that this is the community. This is a slice of the community. This is just a sliver of the community. And if the Prophet said, and I end with this hadith from Al-Bukhari, مَا مُجْعَبٍ قَالَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ ثُمَّ مَا تَعْلَى ذَلِكَ إِلَّا دَخْلَ الْجَنَّةِ Abu Dhar says that the Prophet said, nobody will say La ilaha illallah and then die upon that except that they'll go to paradise. And Abu Dhar says, even if they fornicate and they steal, and the Prophet said, even if they fornicate and they steal. Abu Dhar says again, wa in sarafa, even if they fornicate and they steal, and the Prophet said, even if they fornicate and they steal. And then Abu Dhar says again, wa in sarafa, even if they fornicate and they steal. And the Prophet said, what? Even if they fornicate and they steal, I will love me in fiat. In spite of Allah. In other words, you could ask me 3 times, but whoever says La ilaha illallah and denies upon that will go to paradise. As I close, this should affect how we see the rest of our community. The youth that may be doing whatever they're doing, new Muslims who may be struggling, brothers who you may have come up with, that you may have grown up with in this community, who are no longer around, remember that there are people who La ilaha illallah. May Allah never take away from us La ilaha illallah. No matter what he takes from us, may he never take away La ilaha illallah.
Punished by Allah. Umar ibn Khattab, radiallahu anhu,
said, every verse in the Quran that has come as an admonition or a warning to disbelieving people has a relevance for believing people who are disobedient. In other words, the verses that you read in the Quran admonishing the kuffar, admonishing those who disbelieve, there's a portion in that for the disobedient believer. Is anybody in here think themselves anything other than a disobedient believer? Right? Aqwatu nafsi ila tawbah. Man tawahhama innahu laysa bihajjatin ila tawbah. The person who needs to repent most is the person who's been deluded into thinking that they have nothing to repent from. That's the worst situation you could be in, is if you look up and say, what should I make tawbah from? And nothing comes to mind, then you need to make tawbah from your inability to identify something you need to make tawbah from. In other words, if you think you're perfect, you're in big trouble. May Allah forgive us. So then, every verse in the Quran, it comes as a warning to the disbelievers, has a relevance to you, O believer, if you yourself are disobedient. May Allah guide us. So when the Prophet says, even if you fornicate your steals, some of us may have thought, word? Sounds like I just got license to go out and act a fool. Some of us may have thought, wow, that sounds like a really good, you know, opportunity to go do whatever I want. And I'm going to be fine because I've died like you. No, that's not what it means. It's a reference to you. Among other things, Allah is saying that He does not forgive that the human being associated properly with Him. But He forgives other than that for whom He does not forgive. May Allah forgive all of us. When you're talking to your children, and when you're talking to your grandchildren, when you're talking to Muslims in this community, call them to La ilaha illallah. Call them to La ilaha illallah. You may say, well, they already have that. You'd be really surprised. The amount of Muslim kids who go to these universities, and all it takes is one philosophy class to completely throw them off their rock. All it takes is one doctrine book. And everything they learn in Sunday school, out of it. You know how many Muslim kids I have met that are actually atheists hiding it from their friends? Why? Because we're not calling to La ilaha illallah enough. Da'wah, we said we have to make da'wah. We have to propagate the truth, we have to propagate Islam. Unfortunately for many of us, that has become, I need to debate with you and argue with you about your understanding of Islam to get you to come closer to my understanding of Islam. I need to prove to you that your methodology and your teachers are wrong, that my methodology and my teachers are right. And people call that da'wah. How is that power? That's just that. That's called polemics. That's called debating. May Allah guide us. Brothers and sisters, come forward with me. وَمِنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلٍ مِّمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا وَطَعَمَ مِنْ لِلْمُسْلِمِينَ. Who is better in speech than the person who calls to Allah and does good deeds and says, indeed, I am a Muslim? We have to call one another to La ilaha illallah. And I'll end with the story. The Prophet said, whoever says La ilaha illallah, then it dies upon them. What's the last thing that you want to say when you die? La ilaha illallah. That's the last thing you want to say. Accustom yourself to that now. Get used to that now. Like the teacher who told all of his students, he said, come over for dinner. And there were some 200 of them. So he goes home to his wife and he says, honey, the students are coming over for dinner. And she said, they're not going to fit in the house. We're not going to food. What's wrong with me? Some of the brothers just may sound familiar. She said, dude, you're crazy. You're not going to fit in the house. So he says, you know, I didn't think about that. He says, you're right. I have an idea. It's just a story, y'all. It's not a hadith. Don't try this at home. It's just a story. So he says, I didn't think about that, but I have an idea. So he stands at the door of the house when the students are showing up, pokes every one of them in the arm with a needle. Just a story, y'all. Don't try this at home. Brother said on the mimbar, we should poke one another in the arm. It's a story. I said it three times. You go poke somebody else on the mimbar. So he pokes him in the arm. He pokes the first one, he says, ouch. He says, get out of here. He pokes the next one, he says, ah. He says, go. He pokes the next one, he says, ah. He says, leave. He pokes the next one and says, "Hey, man, what the fuck is fucking coming out?" So there ended up being like five or six of them. We met by humor. What's more important than that? What comes out of your mouth when you get poked with the needle? When you see the red lights on the highway, do you drop the F bomb? Do you drop the S bomb? Right? Oh, or do you say, "La ilaha illallah"? Accustom yourself to reacting with "La ilaha illallah." Your kid drops something, don't scream at the kid, say "La ilaha illallah." Allah willed that that cup fell. Allah willed that they spilled the milk at the table. Allah willed that. "La ilaha illallah." Your husband starts acting crazy, sister, don't scream at him. Say "La ilaha illallah." Brother, your wife starts acting crazy, don't scream at him. Allah's God. She screams, say what? "La ilaha illallah." SubhanAllah, right? React with "La ilaha illallah." And when we see what's happening on the news, before you begin to even think about it, begin with what? "La ilaha illallah." Sayyidina Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, may Allah be well pleased with him, was on his deathbed. He's in the throes of death. And his students are saying "La ilaha illallah" in the room. "La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah." And he's saying that. "La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la. La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la." They're saying there's no God but Allah. He's saying no. They're thinking Imam Ahmed defends the Quran, memorizes a million hadith, Imam Abu Sunnah, and he's dying without "La ilaha illallah." So the students say, "What's happening?" Then he comes out of the throes of death. They said, "Ya Imam, we were saying la ilaha illallah." He said, "La." He said, "Shaitan was at the foot of my bed. And he was saying to me, 'You beat me, you beat me.' And he wanted me to become arrogant. In my last moment before that, Shaitan wanted me to feel vanity. He said, 'You beat me, you beat me.' And I said, 'No, not yet.' Because he hadn't done it. That's the man. May Allah give us firm faith, Ya Rabbi. And may Allah never take away La ilaha illallah. May Allah make our communities communities of La ilaha illallah. May Allah make our lived realities the realities of La ilaha illallah. May Allah make our families families of La ilaha illallah. May Allah let us die in La ilaha illallah. Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Inna rabbukum amarakum bi amr al-badati bi nafsi wa la'ati bi malaikati. Qul a'udhu bi rabbil falaq. Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna 'ala an-nabi. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu sallu 'alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allahumma salli 'ala Muhammad wa 'ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita 'ala Ibrahim wa 'ala ali Ibrahim. بارك اللهم على محمد وعلى ال محمد كما باركت على ابراهيم وعلى ال ابراهيم في العالمين انك حميد مجيد. اللهم اغفر للمسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الاحياء منهم والاموات انك سميع قريب مجيب الدعوات. اللهم ربنا اتنا في الدنيا حسنه وفي الاخره حسنه وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم ردنا والمسلمين الى دينك مردا جميلا. اللهم ردنا والمسلمين الى دينك مردا جميلا. اللهم ردنا والمسلمين الى دينك مردا جميلا يا ارحم الراحمين. اللهم اغفر ذنوبنا واستر بكنا وطارق بكنا يا ارحم الراحمين انك على ما تشاء قدير وبالحمد جدير. وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى اله وصحبه وسلم. سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. الله يرضى عن الاسلام ويجعل الله ويعلم فشاء ويقول ربك اذا كنت